Welcome back to the New Talk, the Bob Davis Podcast. Podcast 389 in the comfortable studio tonight. Because it's actually cold outside. I don't like that. I mean, it's cold to me. I know most Minnesotans think this is great, but I wish it was warmer. So I'm down in the studio tonight just for fun. So we're on a pretty predictable track these days, it seems, with economics and politics and business. Despite the daily things that happen, it feels like that it's fairly predictable. We kind of know things are going on until, of course, we're not. We've had some indications in the last week or so, some shakes or shocks that might have been predictable, but they might cause us to pause for a moment and wonder how reliable and how stable the track we're on actually is. What happens if something happens that we didn't see coming? This is something often referred to as a black swan event. I love talking about potential black swan events, and that's what we're going to do in podcast 389. Well, if you've been listening to the radio, you listen to 93X or the country stations, you have heard me tell you about xgovernmentcars.com, and you've heard me say that they're the only car dealer that rocks as hard as you, right? xgovernmentcars.com can get you approved for your car loan in minutes. Everybody is approved, which is one of the coolest things about xgovernmentcars. So if you're looking for a work truck or a car for your kid or something like that, one of these great ex-government cars, they're reliable, they have been maintained by the government, and then Ed gets them, he knows where to get the good ones, and they turn them around and get them all ready for you. And they do take trades, so you can bring the 96 Saturn over that's burning oil, and they'll take it. Stop by xgovernmentcars.com for a test drive. They're at 2420 Nevada Avenue North in Golden Valley, or you can call 763-777-8782. Let me just quickly tell you, they got the new Ford Police sedan, they've got Crown Vicks, they've got Chargers. And Ed has been getting into trucks in a big way because now there's a lot of these ex-government trucks. And again, they've been maintained. The government takes care of them. The police departments, fire departments, whatever, wherever he gets them. I've talked about the expedition that he had that was from the FBI. The thing looked like a brand new truck. I was amazed. And it had 100,000 miles on it. But with an expedition, that's like a brand new car. You know, people go out and they'll spend $70,000 on a new Yukon. You can go to xgovernmentcars.com and get a recent Yukon or a recent Suburban or a recent Expedition. Ed can find what you need, and you won't pay that much. It's a great deal, plus you can get financing. All right, I've talked enough about it. Go over there. Get your butt down to xgovernmentcars.com and find out what they've got and make yourself a deal. You're going to be really happy because these cars are really cool. xgovernmentcars.com. So first of all, a couple of announcements. Since, I think it was in the last 6 months, I acquired the Mobile Command unit that I've been all over the country in. Been to the Pacific, been to the Atlantic, and many, many points in between, and it's been great. And these, as I have described in the podcasts from the vehicle when I've been traveling, have been shakedown cruises to just kind of work out the system and the kinks and learn the limitations as well as the things that are great, that you know how it works and everything. And now it's time for the real deal. So I'm going to be heading out actually next week to cover some events. Some are going to be political. Some are going to be just fun. First of all, if you hear of something you think it would be fun for me to go to, I would love to hear a suggestion. Doesn't mean I'm going to actually go, but I'd love to hear a suggestion. Second, hit the big yellow safe and secure donate button right under the picture of the red and black Mobile Command Center. Because I can use any and all donations, whether it's $1 or $5 or $100 or more. Whatever you want to contribute to the effort goes exclusively into the Mobile Podcast Command Unit. The shakedown spring is over. We're headed out to get in the news as opposed to watching it on TV or reading what somebody else says about an event. And I'm really looking forward to that. I'll tell you more about it in the next few days and the next few podcasts about where I'm headed. And thanks for the contributions that you've already sent in to thebobdavispodcast.com. So a black swan event is an event in human history that was unprecedented and unexpected at the same time it happened. However, after evaluating the surrounding context, domain experts and usually laymen can say, well, it was bound to happen, right? The black swan theory was developed by Nassim Nicholas Taleb to explain three phenomena. And I'm just going to read you the description from the Wikipedia page about Taleb's description of what a black swan theory is. The disproportionate role of high-profile, hard-to-predict, and rare events that are beyond the realm of normal expectations in history, science, finance, and technology. Two, the non-computability of the probability of the consequential rare events using the scientific method, owing to the very small nature of small probabilities. In other words, it's really hard to predict. Third, the psychological biases that blind people individually and collectively to uncertainty and to rare events, massive role in historical affairs. Now, this is a theory. I'm sure there are philosophers that would might disagree or might come up with an illumination on it. But two good examples of the black swan theory are the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand and his wife in 1914, which, of course, was the spark, not necessarily the cause, but the spark of World War I. And it, further back in history, the unexpected deaths of Alexander the Great and Attila the Hun. Attila the Hun, if memory serves me, was just about to launch another attack on Rome. Had he succeeded, history might be considerably different. Now, there's considerable debate as to whether the financial crisis of 2008 qualifies as a black swan event, because some would argue in the financial community it was both predictable and predicted. It's just that no one wanted to hear it. But I do recall interviewing people who were pretty high up in the Treasury Department and so forth during those days, and they insisted that it wasn't going to be a problem, and yet it was. So in a sense, we were kind of blinded to the potential of the financial crisis of 2008 to cause problems. I guess you could say that 9/11 was a black swan event, since absolutely nobody saw it coming in the power structure. Even so, if you actually look at the history, they were completely caught flat-footed by this event. And I like to tell the story of, at that time, I was doing nights on KSTP, and the night before, so it was September 10th, 2001, I did a whole show about coming to the end of an era. And I said, you know, we haven't had the bill for the Clinton administration presented, because I felt that during the period of the Clinton administration, there were a lot of small moves toward things, but there really weren't any real strategic efforts to solve some of the problems in the world. And I felt that we were kind of laid open to it. And to me, the attack on the USS Cole kind of predicted 9/11. And I remember talking about that, and we had a caller that night that said, well, you know, they could fly planes into buildings. And we both said, that's never going to happen. I mean, it was so bizarre because we were blind to the potential of something so simple as taking an airliner and flying it into a building like, you know, the World Trade Center in New York. So when I talk about something happening, I'm talking about this kind of an event that people are really blindsided to. And since they're unpredictable, supposedly, it's probably pretty hard to predict a black swan event, but it's really fun to try. And as I said, I feel like one is coming because it feels like we're on a pretty predictable path right now. And yeah, you know, I'm aware that things happen on a day-to-day basis that are unpredictable, like this New York Stock Exchange thing that happened in the present time frame with a glitch. And who knows if it's a glitch, but that's what was described to us. We kind of think we know who the candidates and the nominees are going to be. We kind of think we know what the issues are going to be. We kind of think that we understand the business situation, the markets, and so forth. And despite the Greek thing and the Chinese thing, it's actually been pretty quiet in the world lately. I mean, there are little things happening. I'm not trying to deny or to diminish real serious problems. But, you know, this NYSE thing that happened, if you're unaware, there was a glitch and they had to shut down the New York Stock Exchange. They thought they had it fixed before the market opened, and then it turned out that it didn't and they had to close it. And what happened was the other markets, there's plenty of other markets that kind of picked up the trading. And so while the Dow Jones was down something like 230 or more points, it isn't, you know, a so-called black swan event. It was perhaps a 1 or 2 day thing. So when I talk about a black swan event, it's something that happens that literally shakes us to the core. you know, like 9/11 or the 2008 financial crisis. So just when you think you've got it all figured out, at least this has been my experience, just when we think we've got this whole thing figured out, and you see it in the media, the way they talk about candidates and the way that they talk, you know, there's storylines that have been set, and the storylines have been set, and so then the challenges are, is this going to affect our storyline, let's say? And the storyline is, and again, I don't think people sit around and agree on this. I think this is just something that happens once a story gels and it becomes a storyline. Hillary Clinton's inevitable candidacy, you know, and the storyline is Bernie Sanders going to be able to stop Hillary Clinton's inevitable candidacy the way Barack Obama did in 2000, whenever it was that he got elected the first time? When was that? 2008, I think so. What was it? Something like that. So that's what I mean. Something, you know, that you think you have it all figured out. You think that it's gelled as a storyline, and then things completely change. I listed two possible events almost immediately when I started thinking about this, one fairly predictable and the other not so predictable. And actually both happened last week when a friend of mine said, you know, what do you think would upset the apple cart? And I said, well, you know, if the Greeks leave the EU or that turns into a huge crisis, that could. And the other one was the Chinese stock market crash, which actually people aren't aware of. The Chinese stock markets are in trouble. And the knock-on effects, which are much more serious than the effect of a stock market crash in China financially at the outset, but the knock-on effects and reactions to that. But there are a number of other events which I can think of, and I'm going to list a few of them. Now, we're in an era, and this is where a lot of this is coming from, and I think about this kind of stuff a lot. We're in an era. You can call it whatever kind of an era you want. It could go on for a few more years unless an event pivots us in a new direction and galvanizes people. The word galvanize is actually an interesting choice because, aside from its application in metallurgy, one of the definitions of galvanize is an event that forces change. Change in politics, change in business, change in economics, philosophy, society, so that when you look back, you see the era that you were living in, and you realize that you're now living in a completely different era. So at some point in the 1970s, people looked around and said, hey, we're not living in the 1960s anymore. I'm not sure when that was. I guess it was the arrival of disco. That's when people in the 70s went, wait a minute, hey, it's not the 60s anymore. So what's my list of possible black swan events, one of which is actually in progress as we speak? Well, tops on the list has to be China. And it's not a financial crisis in China. And I don't want people to misinterpret what I'm saying. They now have a financial crisis. And the financial crisis is that the Chinese communist compact with the people is, we will deliver economic growth and you will support the Communist Party. China is, in fact, a tyranny. It is a uniparty government, and it is a government in which the people have no recourse, and the people do not choose the government. It is all about the Communist Party and the elites in China. So it's not a democracy or a republic of any kind. Now, a financial crisis in China could cause the Chinese power structure to start to unravel. And when that happens, then things like understanding that the Chinese military is really for oppressing the people. It really, people worry about the Chinese military, but the Chinese military is really all about oppressing the people and for preventing an uprising of some kind. But if there's a large enough financial crisis in China, you could see a situation where Hong Kong, Shanghai, and the industrial core go one way, Beijing and the other parts of the country go another way. Remember that China historically has been seven different regions, and unity has been a big, big social theme with the communists and really the nationalists and the predecessors of the Communist Party for years, this idea of unity. And I think it was Yat-sen and Chiang Kai-shek and Mao all really were pushing to create a unified China. So this is a huge thing that conceivably could conceivably break the country up. I don't know if it will, but it'll be interesting to see how they react, because there's no recourse for the people of China if things go south. You know, whereas in, during the Depression, we could elect Roosevelt. You know, we could actually do something. We could get people like, we could elect people like Huey Long, you know, if we so chose at that time. So there was recourse for the people in the United States to sort of vent the frustration and concern about the economy. I mentioned Greece. And I have to tell you, I'm not sure what all the fuss is about when it comes to Greece. Greece owes something like $345 billion to my understanding, a number of creditors, both banks in Germany, the German government, the IMF, and any number of other institutions in Europe. And part of the reason that they're in trouble is because of the way that the Eurozone is set up. I don't have time to get into it in this podcast. The truth is, with Greece, any state in the Union has a bigger economy than Greece. I wouldn't even be surprised to find out that Puerto Rico has a bigger economy than Greece. And Greece will never be able to pay back the $345 billion. So I don't see why it's a big deal. Greece is in the EU or not. And they're going to have to figure out some way to either bail out the banks or bail out Greece. But it's not, you know, $340 billion is a lot of money, but it isn't the end of the world, right? Except that Greece has always been a linchpin in the post-Cold War and Cold War, post-World War II power arrangement with the United States versus Russia. And Greece was always, you know, Greece and Turkey are actually the creation of the Truman Doctrine and NATO because of the potential for both of those countries to move into the Soviet sphere at the time. That dichotomy could still exist. Greece could move into the Russian sphere, which could destabilize the Balkans and could cause some foreign policy issues, which would have a huge impact on the U.S. Elections, because people are looking at domestic policy mostly right now. They're not necessarily looking at foreign policy, and that could change the dynamic of the U.S. presidential elections. Another thing that could change the dynamics of the U.S. presidential elections would be if the Islamic State got their hands on a nuclear weapon, a dirty bomb, or even a nuclear weapon and then use it anywhere in the world. But a nuclear attack anywhere in the world, especially in the United States, would irreparably and unpredictably change everything forever. One of my favorite theories, and this has some basis, is that North Korea or Iran would detonate a 10-plus megaton device over the continental U.S. at about 80 to 100,000 feet. I think that's in the stratosphere. The blast produces something theoretically called an electromagnetic pulse. This fries microchips. I don't know that they've ever actually detected an EMP, but they believe theoretically that such a thing exists. This would render any device not shielded permanently disabled, and it wouldn't involve any fallout radiation generally. It's too far up in the atmosphere. You can imagine what would happen if computers, smartphones, TVs, the sensors in our cars, the ignition systems, power stations, anything with unshielded chips would become junk immediately. Now, the problem with this theory is, of course, the U.S. military has shielded all their stuff. So it would be kind of stupid for the North Koreans or Iran to do something like this, because we would still be able to retaliate. But there it is. Russia is also a wild card. Russia is a popular boogeyman, but Russia could miscalculate in the Ukraine and start a general war in the region. And if the Greeks are involved in some way, shape, or form there, and Turkey's involved in some way, shape, or form, and ISIS is involved and so forth, you can sort of see the broad outlines of something like that. As far as that happening rapidly, it's conceivable it could happen rapidly. It could blow up in a week or two, and suddenly we would have an international crisis. So not something I'd be too thrilled about if our current president was still sitting in the chair. Here's another one, a virus. We got a little sort of taste of this with the Ebola thing last year. But scientists say sooner or later, a deadly flu virus will emerge. Now, when I say deadly, I'm talking about a virus which has a ratio of 90% infection to death. So 100% infections and 90% initially would be killed by this flu. Now, initially, such a virus could kill millions until essentially it burns itself out or until we develop an immunity to it. So it wouldn't maintain a 90% death rate, but it conceivably could long enough that it would definitely denude the population and change things forever. Large numbers of people. And we haven't seen that kind of a plague since the plagues, right? We haven't seen that large enough of a reduction in general population anywhere in the world for a long time in this country. The Spanish flu was pretty close. And if you actually read up on the Spanish flu, which occurred after World War I was over, it was pretty scary. You know, towns literally barricaded themselves, didn't work, but they didn't really know what was causing it. They had to figure it out. And there's a whole thing about Johns Hopkins University in there contributing to and figuring out that it was, in fact, a virus. So I don't want to go into that too loud. But again, something like that could conceivably be a black swan event. Here's one that really you couldn't predict, and I'm not a big alien person, but if something happened where we had a confirmed discovery and communication with aliens much older and smarter than us, that is a big one. That would cause all sorts of people to react in bizarre ways. I think some people would think it was the return of Christ. I think others would take other views. The actual confirmation of alien life somewhere else, intelligent life somewhere else in the world, people that could actually come here would freak everybody out, I think. Another financial crisis, I kind of alluded to that. The amount of corporate government debt in this country and in the West in general is astounding to me, not to mention the unfunded liabilities like pensions and the long-term cost of programs like Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare, and now Obamacare. Our current federal debt is about $19 trillion. Now, the total assets of the United States are somewhere around $270 trillion, and our total debt, which includes all the debt, consumers, business, and federal, is something like $145 trillion, which leaves us with a net worth of something like $123 trillion. But the black swan event is the amount of debt and spending across the world that has been designed to reinflate markets and banks and to crater debts. To a certain extent, after 2008, it has worked. But as I said, the real intent was to trigger enough inflation to crater obligations. For example, if the world's inflation was a little higher, Greece's $345 billion wouldn't seem impossible to pay off, or that's how Keynesians in the EU and the US see it. The problem is, there's really not enough real economic growth to trigger higher inflation. And with disinflation, or even deflation in some cases, the debts are going in the other direction. They're actually getting harder to pay for countries like Greece and maybe even the U.S. It's possible there could be an even bigger financial bubble burst, which could do a tremendous amount of damage. Lots of people have been predicting that on various parts of the political structure, right and left in this country and across the world. And I think what you have to think about there is 2008 times 10 or more. So we would actually have a real depression in the world and the United States with all of the things that go along with that, the terrible things that go along with that. Now, it isn't really necessarily the event. It's the reaction to the event. You know, Archduke Ferdinand's assassination triggered secret pacts between the great powers of Europe, causing mobilization and counter-mobilizations that could not be called back. Nobody in leadership was prepared for the cost and scope of war conducted on an industrial level. One of my favorite stories about World War I is these British officers, these British leaders, the colonels and the generals, were really stupid. They just could not understand. They kept pounding those trenches over and over again, and they just couldn't get it through their heads that they were never going to be able to defeat those positions. And of course, you know, I've talked about this a couple times. The Germans never did what the British and the French did. They would employ strategic retreat to other trenching systems, and their casualties were high, but they were never as high as the British and French. They literally killed off an entire generation, and it was pure folly. And of course, the result of that was that World War I completely destroyed the power structure of Europe and the economy of Europe up to that time, and it started the decline of the great powers. For instance, Britain and France had to begin to divest themselves of their colonies, and the whole thing eventually led to World War II, which really was the end of the colonial powers in Africa and Asia and across the world. And it was really the beginning of the ascendance of the United States and Russia as world powers. So the thing to think about as you're coming up with your own potential black swan event is, how would the existing power structure actually react to any of these events? Do we really understand the implications of technology today and what it can do? And do our leaders? How would we react socially to something that was so unexpected? How would you react, depending on the event? A financial crisis? Are we ready for that? A health crisis? Are we ready for that? An international crisis of some kind that really challenges the current international system. You know, nothing is forever. We, most of us alive today, have grown up in a relatively stable world, which has been created because of the post-World War and Cold War structures. And, you know, even though there are issues, it isn't really pure chaos. Are we ready for an international crisis that results in a breakdown in what has been referred to as the world order? A terror attack on a massive scale, for example, some kind of technology glitch, like, for example, the New York Times or the New York, why did I say New York Times? The New York Stock Exchange today, or a glitch that causes a cascade of events affecting power, communications, you know, dams, things of that nature. What about a massive earthquake in California or along the New Madrid Fault in the Midwestern United States? A lot of people are unaware that the largest fault line in the U.S. is there. Well, obviously, it's Newport, California, but there's another very large fault line that runs right through St. Louis, which is often referred to as the New Madrid Fault. And it caused an earthquake in the early 1800s that literally rang church bells in Boston, 800, 600, 700, 900 miles away or whatever it is. And, you know, no one was killed because there was nobody out there except Indians. I'm sure Indians lost their lives in it, but nobody was aware of it. But they heard it in Boston. That's how big this earthquake was. If that happened again, it would level Chicago and St. Louis, and, you know, it would shake buildings in Minneapolis, and it would be a big deal. What about a meteor strike, a giant meteor striking somewhere, some kind of climate event, a superstorm, or even an excessively cold winter in areas all across the northern half of the U.S. where we have weeks of snow and sub-zero temps beyond what those of us in Minnesota and Massachusetts and Alaska are used to? What about the possibility of the Yellowstone caldera blowing? This is the unstable ground and geologic system underneath Yellowstone. And if it blew, it would cause literally a nuclear winter. It would be really something. What about an event that actually ends up being really good? And here again, it's a black swan event, but really it's a white swan event in the sense that if they unlocked the keys to geriatrism, I don't know how to say it, but aging, it would be amazing. If you could take a pill and maintain your age at about 35 years for pretty much as long as you wanted, it would be a huge earth-shaking discovery. Engineering easy ways to replace human parts that are going bad, like your knees or your elbows or your hands or whatever. An agricultural discovery or energy discovery that eliminates concerns about food and fuel permanently. For example, fusion as a power source would revolutionize the world because you'd be able to power, you know, it's safe and it's basically a controlled nuclear explosion, but a different kind of nuclear explosion. Fusion could be huge. Some way to accelerate learning and intelligence with a drug or a treatment. Reliable and dependable space travel. That doesn't, you know, the biggest impediment to space travel today is our lift capability, because missiles can only put so much up in space. If we were able to create some sort of anti-gravity system that would allow us to put, you know, skyscrapers in space or something that large and heavy, then we would be able to create, you know, literally starships that could travel across you know, the universe, and it would be cool, and it would be amazing. Manageable machine intelligence. I know there's a lot being written and discussed about the singularity and the concern about robots becoming smarter than human beings, but what if there's a way to do it to create smart machine intelligence that could solve many of our problems? I love thinking about this stuff. I love trying to predict it. I do think that we're at the end of an era, not just the end of Obama's presidency, but the end of an era in this country. And it could be a long cycle. It could be a short cycle. I you know, if you are one of those cycle people, or the way I look at it is that there are eras. I don't know that they adhere to decades. I don't know that they adhere to centuries. I just think eventually there are enough changes that it kind of builds up and then you kind of flip into the next era. And I see today, when I go out and speak and talk to people, I see a lot of people that are really struggling, trying to relate to a world that doesn't look like the world that they grew up in anymore. And they are, they're very brittle, and they tend to be very frustrated rather than being open to changes. They tend to be worried about maintaining their culture rather than realizing that culture across the world is always changing. It's constantly changing. And younger peoples and populations embrace those changes. And often people who are in the power structure or who are older that aren't able to adjust to it really struggle. And then you have a black swan event. And so you have the beginning of a new era. So what do you think it will be? Do you think, where are you thinking that this event will happen? Because one thing we do know is that it will happen sooner or later. So that's some stuff to think about in podcast 389, the Bob Davis Podcasts. Well, thanks to Ed Johnson and XGovernmentCars.com for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcast since way back, since God was a boy. Ed, thank you for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcast. Thank you for finding the ambulance that has become the Mobile Podcast Command Unit 8. And as Ed, I sent Ed a picture of this thing the other day. It was, I think I just washed it. And he's always like, you need to wash that thing. So I just washed it and blacked the tires up and it looked great. And I sent it to him and I go, this thing looks kick ass. And he goes, no, it doesn't. It looks effing kick ass. So thanks, Ed, for finding the ambulance. You definitely need to check out xgovernmentcars.com. I've had four now vehicles from X-Government Cars, and they're great. Even the ambulance, it doesn't even leak oil. The thing is awesome because governments maintain these vehicles, and then Ed finds them and turns them around to you. But there's a skill to it. You know, it takes somebody that really knows where to find the best vehicles, and he's been in this business long enough to find them. So don't forget xgovernmentcars.com. And yes, I have the bullhorn, so I'm going to wake up the neighbors.
xgovernmentcars.com.
Very quickly, I should just mention that we have digital sponsorship packages here at thebobdavispodcast.com, and actually it's the best deal for sponsorships, and Mad Case Studios is a long-term digital sponsor of the Bob Davis Podcast. Mad Case Studios creates quality, original automotive artwork. Some of it is on the banner at the top of thebobdavispodcast.com. They have been out and will be out at some of the antique auto shows this summer. They do amazing stuff because you get an actual piece of artwork. If you have a favorite car, or if you have a car, you know, I was hanging out with a guy this week that has a Jeep. He's restoring a Jeep, and I was just thinking what a great thing it would be to have Mad K do a little painting of the Jeep from, because he loves this thing, and I don't blame him. So maybe the Mobile Podcast Command Studio will be at some of these events with Mad K. We'll tell you more about it later. Click on the banners for more information about these and other digital sponsors of thebobdavispodcast.com. And I got to thank you guys for the donations and contributions through the big yellow donate button. Really, really appreciate that. But really, for listening on the page at thebobdavispodcast.com, Stitcher.com, iTunes, or TuneIn, there's also two players on the page, blogtalkradio.com, which also has the podcast, and TuneIn, which also has the podcast I've told you about. But mainly, just thanks for listening, and thanks for being part of the Bob Davis Podcast, for liking, sharing, and favoriting on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. I'm bdavis7843 on Instagram, and I post pictures when I travel, and I'm going to be going crazy on Instagram in the next few days. And thanks for your donations at thebobdavispodcast.com. Again, it's definitely keeping me in Komodo Dragon Coffee and keeping the Mobile Podcast Command Unit running. And thanks for listening to Podcast 389.
Here's other information just in. From Dallas, Texas, the Flash, apparently official.